Hey everyone, this is Stelly Efty.
And this is Heaton Shaw. And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to keep your customers up to date on your product or give them product updates, depending on how you want to look at it.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Right? We want you to do your best.
Yeah. We just talked about this example where one of the most painful things that can happen is when a customer cancels the subscription to your product and tells you that the reason they're canceling is that they can't do something in your product. Your product is lacking some feature. And you know that you maybe just a month ago, 2 months ago, sometime recently, you added that feature. They now can do this, but they were never made aware of it. You failed at educating the customer that your product has continually improved, that you've added features and functionalities and capabilities to it. And because of that, you failed the customer. The customer has left or is leaving. And it's one of those things where as I said in the prior episode where we touched on this, you as a founder, I want to go in front of a mirror and punch myself in the face because I want to see myself feeling the pain, not just feel it. It's super painful. And so, and it is a big topic. This is relevant to us. So Close.io, we've been doing a piss poor job at this, like educating and letting our users and our customers know of the product changes and improvements. And we've been having some engaged debates on how to do a better job and all the options that are available, how to do this well. So this is super timely. And this in a world where more and more people are customers of more and more products, especially online products and SaaS products, and these products are moving at a faster and faster pace, I feel it's tough as a customer to be completely up to date and educated on everything that's going on in the product. And it's a challenge for the company to do a good job of educating you. So let's talk about that. Let's unpack it and see what are good ways to do this, bad ways to do this, and everything in between.
Yeah, I love this. Okay, I'm going to start with one of my pet peeves, and I'm going to pick on a couple products for it because fuck. I oftentimes, obviously, I use a lot of SaaS, partly research for my own SaaS, partly like, I actually use a lot of SaaS, just like many folks out there, because there's a lot of freaking SaaS out there. So, my pet peeve is this. Some of the tools that are out there, and I will mention them because fuck, Intercom, as well as AppQues, as well as other tools. And I love those companies. I love those tools. I actually know the founders, so no hate, except one thing. They have created products that make it really easy for the businesses, for SaaS products to bug the shit out of their customers in the wrong ways. Let me give you one example that really bothers the crap out of me. I go log into a SaaS product and all of a sudden there's like five pop-ups or like three intercom messages with the last five product updates they had. I don't give a fuck. I have a job I'm trying to do with your product and the shit is getting in my way. And most of the customers out there probably feel the same way I do. Yes, I want to know that you built this amazing shit, but more importantly than knowing that you built this amazing shit, I want to do what I want to do with your product and get the fuck out of it. So that's my rant. Quick rant. Those products make it easy for you to fuck up the experience for your users. Don't do that. Yes. And the reason they do that is they power these pop-ups. They power messaging, which are wonderful things. I got no hate on that. These products are amazing because they let you do all this crap. And before we had to build it all and it would take months and then it wouldn't work and our engineers would have to maintain it. And now their software lets you do this stuff easily, whether it's onboarding stuff with AppQues or, you know, messaging stuff with Intercom. But it's annoying as crap when a customer of Intercom or a customer of AppQues is building a SaaS product and they don't understand what happens when people log into their product, they're trying to do a task and all these pop-ups come up in a product.
Yeah.
In a freaking product.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't care about your update at that moment. I could give a rat's ass. I'm trying to get something done, you know? And my language is harsh because literally half the products I log into do that.
Yeah, there's one product I use almost daily, a recruiting product. I'm not going to shame them here, but they use Intercom in this way. And it's so annoying. It's like, it is in my way every day. I just want to look at a candidate and they tell me about their new design or their whatever. I don't care.
I have stopped using products because of that shit.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And like, I got a hate on Intercom and AppQs because like they should build better products so people don't do that, because that's bad for everybody. Bad for those products, bad for the people using it. And so it's like, so please don't do that. Don't like inundate your users in the wrong way, because that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about like putting these pop-ups in front of them so that they can know all these wonderful things you did that they don't give a shit about at that moment, right? So the timeliness of the messages you send, the medium you send them with are critical, because at the end of the day, these SaaS products you're building, these products you're building, even if they're not SaaS, people are trying to do something with them. Don't get in their way. That's bad. Especially by like saying, hey, look how cool we are. Look at all the shit we've done, you know? So my advice there would be do something much more simple. So I really like the folks at Drift, and it's because they are smart about this. They send a weekly email and tell you what they've done in the product. It's just an email. It's a product update email, and they tell you all the awesome shit they did for you that week. And it's an email. So if you don't want to open it, don't open it. If you want to open it, great, open it. But they don't make you log into the product, and every time you're logging in, bug you with this crap.
I love it. You know, the one thing that I've seen, so some companies don't do it as intrusively as with those pop-ups, but they have like a little notification at the top right, right? Just like as if there was an inbox. And then when you click on it, it basically shows you, here's the latest three product updates that we've done.
So back in 2006, before Hello Bar or any of those things existed, we actually had a bar at the top of Crazy Egg on the homepage as well as on every other page, where even without a link, we would tell people the last update that we did in terms of a big thing we did to update the product. And it was on the marketing site because we wanted people to know we were always constantly working on the product. And it would even end up in the product, but it was just a top bar, you know, and it was like one message, and like no product manager could screw it up. No marketer on our team could screw it up. And it was literally one line, which is like, hey, we updated the heat map with some extra controls. Go check it out. And we wouldn't even link to anything. We would just be like, go check it out. Like, you know, so I think there's a lot of lightweight stuff that you can put and not be in their face and get in their way. So number one, don't get in their way. Number two, find those ways that are like natural. So if I'm using a product like Drift and I love that product, right? And I'm, you know, wanting to use it better, I will open that weekly email they send me to let me know what are the new updates I might not know about. And if I don't care, or that week I'm really busy, I don't have to open the email. Like, it's very simple, right? And email's okay. It's okay to send email if someone's using your product, especially if they're paying for it, because like they're your customer and they should know what you've done. So this is I don't want to say it's a balance, because I actually don't think it's a balance. I just think you shouldn't be stupid, but these tools help you be stupid. And if you're not logging into your product and seeing these messages, then you're probably not doing your job either. So a lot of times what happens is the reason these messages pile up is because there are users that are not logging in very often. And they end up getting thrown all these messages because that's the way these systems are rigged. They're rigged to just send all these messages to everybody and all of them since the last time they visited. So that's one. Another one, I do want to give props on one thing, which is I think there's one reason this stuff started becoming popular. And what happened is WooFoo used to do this cool pop-up where every time you logged in, it would tell you, here's the update since you last came here. And those were cool. But I think people have taken it with these tools to a whole nother place. It was cute and it was really nice to get that. But now if I'm getting that in every SaaS product out there, I don't want it anymore. I don't want that pop-up. Even if WooFoo had it now, I'd be hating on them. But the thing is, like, back in the day, it was cute because they were one of the only ones doing it. And it was really nice to feel like they were working for you. So it's like the things that worked before might not work anymore once more companies do them. And they get annoying to users. And especially because there's more SaaS now. So I would just say that like there's a big like opportunity to integrate product updates into the experience in ways that customers actually love instead of ways they don't. Another example is share your updates on Facebook if you have a Facebook page. Share your updates on Twitter if you have a Twitter account and you're sharing other stuff. You might as well share your updates. And honestly, find a way to write really great blog posts with those updates. Not ones that are like, oh, we're so awesome, we updated this thing, but more talk about the benefits. Make it more of like a marketing blog post, because then you get multiple benefits. One, you get customers and you get to send that blog post to your customers about the new feature. And two, if it's written really well and also marketing oriented, you end up getting new customers because you added this awesome thing.
So let's talk about, so there's two things that I want to ask. One is prioritization of things, right? So there's big features that are real significant changes in the product. And then there's smaller ones. And then there's bug fixes and tiny durations that some customers might care about, but not all of them. How do you prioritize communicating with customers the big important items that probably touch everyone or everybody that uses the product will be affected by them versus the ones that some people care about, but not all of them? And then the ones that just a very small group will care, but they might care passionately, or it's just a fix that they've been annoyed or a bug that they've been annoyed for weeks, and then you fix it. Of course, if you know the specific customer, you should always try to associate them with that specific bug or fix, and then when you do it, and make sure that they get notified. But how do you feel about like the big versus the small changes in the product?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, okay, I like to like break things up into like chess strategies and checkers strategies. And most people understand the analogy because checkers is a pretty simplistic game, right? And checkers is a much more complex game. And there's chess masters and things like that. And checkers, I don't think there's any masters. There probably are, but you know what I mean? So the checkers way to think about this is like, if it's something really small, bundle it up into multiple small things so it feels bigger or feels like there's a bunch of stuff and send it periodically, like every week or even every month, right? These are all the bugs we fix. These are all the annoying things. And you know, another thing I've noticed is when you say, these are the annoying things we noticed a lot of you were experiencing and we fixed them, that framing is much more interesting than saying we just fixed a bunch of bugs. You know what I mean? It's like, we're actually working for you. The stuff was annoying. We know it was. Here's what we heard and here's what we did about it, instead of just saying, here's what we did. So that approach works really well, because what you want to do is, again, embody this persona in your product from your team that you're actually doing work. You're actually servicing them, because it's software as a service. And that's the majority of the people I know who's on the podcast. So I'm focusing in on that. So that's really important, which is bundling smaller things together and then framing it in the right way. I think that's really important. Don't just call them bug fixes, because you know that's not necessarily the best language when you actually fix things that were small but annoying to your users. And that framing really helps a lot. So I might wrap that up in, when I have a big announcement, I might include some of those. If I'm sending a weekly email to all the customers about what we're doing in the product, I would include a section about, here are the annoying things we fixed for you and things like that. If you want an inspiration, go look at some of the mobile app update notes that a lot of people put out. So the ones Slack does or Medium does, they're really cute and they have a lot of personality. So I would look at a bunch of mobile apps you like that are more like sassy type mobile apps, whether it's Slack or Medium or some of those, and just go look at how they're doing their updates. It's a very fantastic thing, because when they release, they actually write something that's more, not necessarily written like an engineer would write it or engineering minded, but more written like marketing oriented or product marketing oriented. That can be a powerful way to get inspiration on how to do that right. And then when it comes to like Medium and big things are like feature launches. Like at Crazy Egg, we're going to launch like 2 features next year, early next year. And those are going to be big releases. So we've got a whole plan, right? Like a blog post, a bunch of guest blog posts, maybe some press, tweets, Facebook, even customers posting about it, case studies. You're wrapping more of that up in like not just marketing, not just a product update, but like a bigger thing. So you want to spend more time on it and find all the different ways to promote it and make sure that people hear about it, because this is a very important big release for you. And so that's really important. And obviously Product Hunt is in the mix now. So if it's big enough, Product Hunt is a great place to use. Just this week, I probably posted 3 or 4 things on Product Hunt. That's a pretty regular week these days. But those kind of things are useful. And then the Medium stuff, I think if you're doing the weekly updates, you probably would include a lot of the Medium stuff in there. And then the other piece I would say, so this is all just checkers. I think you're playing basic games there and doing basic stuff. The chess style is more like, go find people who are heavily using a certain feature and segment them out and just tell them how awesome you made that feature that you know they use all the time. Because that can build a strong connection with customers, because you're essentially doing as close to personalization you can by segmenting those, you know, dozen people or 100 people if you have thousands of customers that are, you know, using a certain feature a lot, and you made some bug fixes, improvements, and things like that. That can really create a lot of good vibes.
Yeah, that's awesome. It makes a ton of sense. You know, we, in a prior episode, we talked about email and how to think about email in marketing. And, you know, we talked about newsletters and sending too many emails to little and all that. Hearing you talk about this, I'm wondering if I look at a bunch of emails that a lot of SaaS companies send out, and email newsletters that a bunch of companies send out, it's kind of a collection of maybe some PR and announcements, maybe some content they published or an ebook or some white paper that they have, and maybe some product announcements, right? It's kind of a collection of everything sent to everybody. But it seems like that has a less and less value. And I actually do think that I'm seeing a trend, at least in SaaS, of less of these generic newsletters and companies sending more, sending you their best content or sending one email for a PR announcement, if it's significant enough, send you another email maybe once a week whenever they publish a big blog post, and then sending another email when it's a product thing, that kind of separating these topics instead of bundling everything, sending people a dedicated email for one big thing, right? Do you see that trend as well? Or do you think that there's still a place for a generic newsletter or product education, maybe maybe it's an email that's not just about product updates, but maybe it's in a whatever you would want to call it, like a customer education email where you pitch the webinars and the trainings and some new product announcements, and you maybe reiterate all the ways people can get support or something like that. Okay, a dedicated email that gives people a variety of information around the product.
I really like that idea, as long as you actually spend time on the copy for it, meaning like, and the framing of it, right? So obviously, if I'm using a tool and you know, I like it, maybe not love it yet, I want to get help using it when I need it. And it's important to remind customers how you can help them, not just like what you did, right? Or what updates you did. So I really love that idea. I think there's a, you might even start a trend with that. You know, I can see a lot of people getting really into that and wanting to basically share a lot of stuff in that email. So that's why I'm saying you have to be really careful about how you write the copy and the sections you put in there. But it sounds like a really good idea, because again, the service component of SaaS, we shouldn't downplay now that there's so much SaaS. And so everything you talked about is a service component in a lot of ways, right? It's like, one, here are the features our engineering team did. Two, our engineering and product team. Two, here's how we can help you more on customer success. And you know another one that's interesting? Tell them the new support articles you created.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Right? So that's what I mean. Be thoughtful. Think about this shit, right? And have someone who wants that ownership to do it over every week that you do it, because I think that that's a really important thing. I mean, oftentimes, if you're going to take that bend of support and service, you might actually have your customer support team create that email, even though it would have product updates.
I love that. That's a really cool idea. What do you think about so this is more about telling customers that there has a change has occurred in the product, right? We've updated something, we've improved something. But depending on the complexity of what the product is, people just knowing about the change is a first step, but that doesn't mean that they are using it. That doesn't mean that they are getting value out of it. That doesn't mean that they're proficient in how to utilize it, especially if it's maybe a more advanced thing. And obviously, there's a lot of, there is a drip campaigns that you could make, you know, based on usage patterns to know this person checked out a new feature, but they're not using it daily. So what can we do to make that happen? There's a lot of also just more, not as automated, but more like training stuff, certification things. How do you think about that whole world of like training people to use something more and get more use out of it?
Yeah, I'm going to start with one thing that's a little bit related and then get into that, because I think that's a really good question. I have some thoughts and it's very chess-like. But the one thing I would say is one thing I really loved about a few companies is Front has a public roadmap that's in Trello about, and a bunch of other companies do too, Hotjar does and a bunch of other companies. But basically, these are roadmaps where they tell you what they're going to do and when they're going to do it. And it's out in the future. I've always found that to be really useful as a customer, because then I know what updates are coming. And honestly, it reduces churn. Because if I know that some other product has a feature, but it's on Front's roadmap, I'm going to stick with Front if I already use it. And I'm going to be dying for that feature if I really want it. But I'm not going to switch to the other product because I'll wait. So, and that's psychology that works really well. So public roadmaps can be useful if you have the discipline to deliver on what you say you're gonna and when you say you're gonna do it. So that's huge. Another thing I really like is, I think it was popularized more by Intercom, but there's a public like change log type thing where they basically, every GitHub release or every like release they feel is worthy of sharing. I know there's a couple other companies that did this before, but Intercom's the one I think of. They basically have the equivalent of a change log where it's like, these are all the things we've done. If you ever wanted to see what we've been doing, look here, right? And they have the face, I think, of the engineer and stuff like that. I don't know if they still have it. I haven't played around in their product in a bit, but like they used to have it. And it was really cool. We at QuickSprout are actually adding a change log to our product because we think it's really powerful. And then eventually we'll probably do the public roadmap stuff too. And one issue with the public roadmap stuff is like, my competitors will see what I'm doing. Well, competition is really crazy these days anyway, so who cares? That would be my answer. It's like, if you want to keep your customers, you should tell them what you're going to do in the future and do it. And that really helps reduce churn, which is what you're trying to prevent in terms of competitors anyways, right? You don't want them to leave you. So I think that's a very powerful idea, and I'd love to see more companies do it. And you obviously don't want to do it until your teams are, you know, disciplined. Otherwise, and if they never are, then don't do it, because you'll actually blow your load and it'll have the opposite effect of people leaving because you said you were going to do it and you didn't do it. And then to your point about training and all that, you know, we did talk about how if somebody's using a product or a feature heavily, a part of your company feature, and you improve it, you should be sending just them a special message around it in those groups. That's great. The opposite of that is what you were saying, which is, let's say there's a key part of your product and there's a bunch of people not using it. You should definitely segment the user base based on that kind of activity. Kissmetrics, Mixpanel, Amplitude, even Heap, all these products let you easily do that. You can even hack it together in Google Analytics, but they don't let you see who the person is, so you really can't. Intercom lets you pass in some of the metadata like that. So you can easily find some ways to do this in all the tools. I just wanted to give that suggestion because some people think they need to go to their engineers, but they don't. And then so you basically find people who are not using a feature and basically go send a specialized email to them to get them to use the feature. This tactic becomes really powerful when you know that the usage of a certain part of your product causes higher retention, higher lifetime value, and other things like that. Because then obviously you want more people to get to that same place that those people that got to that place got to.
I love it. Anything else? I think we shared a ton of tips. I think that the thinking about how to communicate the changes that are occurring in your product, I think that that's kind of something that still is in its infancy in how sophisticated we are.
Oh,
and it's also one of those things that, you know, there's a million things going on, right? There's all this stuff that we do to build the product and compete and do all that. There's all these marketing things to let people know we exist and let them to acquire new customers. And then now that we have a bunch of customers and some of them cancel, we start worrying about like, how do we make sure that we predict churn better and we keep people and we build more features and we do more this and we do more that. And along the line, it's a thing that's easy to forget. It's like, hey, we're building all these things and we're marketing to all these people, telling them we exist. But how do we do product marketing? How do we do education around the product? And how do we, in a world where people get more and more inundated with messages and use more and more products and are not up to date with everything that's going on with your product, how do you do that in a thoughtful way? It's still, I think, a nice little blind spot for most companies. And with that, a big opportunity. But I think this is going to be more and more important down the line.
Yeah, I mean, product marketing is basically all we've been talking about, right? When it comes to product updates, I think that's what traditionally you would call it. And you're right. This is underutilized, underappreciated, and undervalued tactic. And I think if you just create a discipline early on, whether it's like a change log or a public roadmap, or blog posts with like really great blog posts with updates about what you're doing, why you're doing it, what the customer pain is that you're solving for. It's really powerful. It really pulls people in from a marketing standpoint, but it also keeps the people you have and lets them know that you're constantly working for them. Because look, we all spend a lot of time on product and engineering and improvements on the product, doing the right thing, but we don't necessarily communicate why we're doing it and how awesome, you know, we are at doing it, to be honest. I think there's many teams out there that could be communicating much more about these kind of things. And they should also be, in my opinion, sharing like the people behind some of these things. Like we had ideas we never executed, and I'll leave this as a crazy tip before we end this one. I'm sure you have a tip too, but I would love to see more engineers and product people on video telling us what they built. I want to know from the actual people, not just the founders, not just the marketing person. I want to know from the person who built it, how they feel about it. I want to hear from them.
I love that. It's super powerful. I don't even know if I have a tip. I think my tip to round this up is just do me a favor, you know, take one thing that we discussed in this episode that you aren't already doing and that seems to be a logical next thing you could start doing as a company and just get started with it. Don't do the coolest thing. Like maybe you think, oh shit, yeah, let's do the next 5-year roadmap on Trello. Let's put it on Trello in the next 3 weeks and publish it with a big bang.
Yeah.
No, don't do that.
Send an email saying what you're going to do next. One example. Right? Do something really small, but just do it and see what happens. You're probably going to like it so much, you're going to do more of it.
Yep, I love it. That's it from us.
Good one, dude. Good one. Yeah. See ya.